are your people. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Let's just go to God in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another day that you've given us, Lord, just to be able to be in your house and to, Lord, gather in your name, Lord. And Lord, your name is worthy of all of our praise and all of our, Lord, worship, Lord God. And Lord, we ask that as we're here, Lord God, that you just would speak to us in a special way, Lord. May, Lord, you just would, Lord, just open our eyes, Lord, to, Lord, see what you have to, Lord, show us, and also our ears that we may understand, and our hearts that we may receive it and apply it to our lives, Lord. Lord, we ask that you just bless the ones that are on their way, Lord. Just bless them and keep them as they are on the roads, Lord. And thank you for the ones that are here, and strengthen our brother Jack, Lord, as well as he just prepares, Lord, just to, Lord, just feed your flock, Lord God, that we may be better, Lord, better Christians day by day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Marching over to Jerusalem, we are marching over to Jerusalem, 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 marching over to Jerusalem, we are marching over.
It's all right, you can put your hands together. Even though it's Wednesday, we can still worship. Come on.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, we are marching over to Jerusalem, we are marching over to Jerusalem, 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 we are marching over to Jerusalem. We are marching over Jerusalem, 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 Jerusalem. One more time, marching over.
As Brother Jack comes,
we are marching over to Jerusalem, 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 we are marching over. Yes, we are. Does anybody want to go? Jerusalem. marching over to Jerusalem, marching over Jerusalem, 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 Jerusalem. Amen. No, it's kind of cold outside, so to kind of get you warmed up, so it's not so bad. So we'll walk in the light. In the light, beautiful light, come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright, shine all around us by day. Time we will walk in the light. Oh, come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, you're the light of the world. Let's just give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight that we are able to walk in the light of the revealed word as it's been given to us. We live in a day, Lord, it's a dismal day, a dark day. And Lord, but you said in the evening time, there would be light, and that light is the word made manifest in our hour. We thank you that we could see, for we could be blind, but Lord, we can see, and it's worse to be spiritually blind than it is to be naturally blind. We just thank you for anointing our eyes that we might see, and trust as we would go deeper into the word of God, that you would just settle our spirits, and that you would just bring revelation to each and every one of us, Lord, and that you speak to our hearts in the only way that you can. Bless those saints that may still be on the way, those that won't be able to make it tonight. You know all about it. Just trust that you'd be with them as well. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We'll go back to Revelation chapter 13. Kind of had in my heart to start with verse 11 and verse through 18 and start working with that. But I just want to go back, if we can, maybe just pick up Revelation 13:1 and then just kind of tie that to another scripture over here in the book of Revelation. Verse 1 here in Revelation 13 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." The name of blasphemy. And we made mention last week that we're kind of getting a little ahead when I talk about names of blasphemy, but I thought it would be important for us just to kind of bring that in at this time too. Let's go over to Revelation 17 and we'll read quite a bit from that particular chapter. We won't go into great detail, but we'll at least
you know, bring this in, the scripture itself in. Starting in verse 1 says, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, talk with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. Now that first verse we read in verse 1 in chapter 13 says the name of blasphemy, but now we got full of names of blasphemy. And this is where Brother Branham brings out the point, this names of blasphemy, is that we get no longer Christians anymore. Most people you ask, are you a Christian? No, I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm a Catholic, you know, whatever denominational name is, but we've left Christianity completely out of the picture. And to be a Christian really means to be Christ-like. Unfortunately, we have the name Christian has been used in such a light where it just doesn't have the same meaning it used to have. Everybody a Christian nowadays, whether they repented or didn't repent, they still Christians. At least they call themselves that. But the way that we know whether a person's a Christian is that their fruit will bear the life of a Christian. I mean, the life will bear the fruit of a Christian. The life will bear the fruit of Christianity. So if the life is not bearing the fruit of Christianity, call yourself a Christian. I'm not going to argue with you. We'll just watch your life. Just like an orange tree, call itself an apple tree. If it's bearing oranges, we're not going to argue. It's an apple tree. You know, if we see apples on it, it's an apple tree. If it's an orange tree, it's an orange tree. But we're not going to argue with that. So here we have these full of names of blasphemy. This is all the denominational names that we have today that people identify themselves. And just because they're under a robe of a denomination, they feel like they have safety in that. But that's the safety is in Jesus Christ. Listen, verse 3 says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. Verse 5 says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now again, the verse 8 there, where it talks about was and is not, and yet is. Beast represents a power, and what happened was the Roman empire was, they were a very strong empire. They crumbled just like every other empire before them. The Babylonians fell apart, the Medes and Persians fell apart, Alexander the Great came to an end, and then the Roman Empire also came to an end. However, even though their physical strength might have fallen, they're not in existence today. Their spiritual strength is now in existence. So this power or this beast that was and is not and yet is talking about how their physical strength went away, but now their spiritual strength is pretty much rooted in every nation there is. All right, so this is what we get here from the beast that was and is not and yet is. Verse 9 again, and here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. going to be very important as we come into a later part here tonight. Seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. This is the Rome, the Vatican City, sitting on seven hills. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other one is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not even, he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Now, perdition is also tied over to Judas. Judas was the son of perdition, which means he was a son of hell. You know, really, that's what that's all about. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And this is dictators, Brother Branham brings out to our attention. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beasts. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So Revelation 13 just kind of ties right in there to Revelation 17. And we'll go deeper into that as we get to it. I just want to kind of bring you that name of blasphemy and how it ties into names of blasphemy. First start out as a name. Now we got names. So really out of the mother came all the daughters. Okay. Let's go to verse 11 here in Revelation 13. And we'll pick up our study here tonight. We, last week, I think we finished up showing about how the name Barak was shown 13 times in the book of Judges. Also during the days of Barak, as he reigned there in the book of Judges, they were underneath a woman rulership, and he wouldn't go to battle unless, you know, the prophetess went to battle with him at the time. Or the judge, I should say, if she didn't go to battle, he wasn't going to go to battle. You know, and it just shows Brother Branham's prophecy and how he talked about what we have today is one of the great things that was supposed to happen before the Lord Jesus returned is that we would have a woman rise in power. And that woman could either be from from the standpoint of the Catholic Church, the church represented as a woman in Scripture, or it could be someone actually in a political arena. So either way, we see these things, you know, being fulfilled. We have women in great places right now. There is some direct quotes where Brother Branham said, the woman will rise in power either as a president or vice president. You know, he did say that. And so we can look for it to be fulfilled. It's dual fulfilling. So we can watch that. And I'm going to tell you this much. If you see it happen, look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. All right. I mean, it's, you know, don't get pulled into, you know, all the excitement and everything that, you know, everybody had. Oh, you know how they did. First, this person, you know, president, and oh my, you know, you better be watching careful because Brother Branham said there's gonna be seven things happen before the coming of the Lord. All right, and then the next thing after the president, the woman president. A woman rising great power. The next thing after that is, I believe, destruction over the land of America. All right. So I'll just be praying to get out of here, you know, as soon as that occurred. So here, let's pick up verse 11. Man, and I beheld another beast. This is a second beast. Now, coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the womb by a sword and did live. So just the same beast that was and is not. This one, you know, had a womb by a sword and did live. Again, that's the brute power, physical power of Rome that died, but now they still live in a spiritual form. And they have just as much force, just as much power in a spiritual form than they had when they were naturally strong. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, you look at that scripture, it looks very, very similar to what happened with the three Hebrew boys. They wouldn't worship the image of a beast. I mean, they wouldn't worship an image, I should say, at the time. And by not worshiping that image, they got cast into fire. It's amazing how scripture can repeat itself. And we don't know what we'll have to go through, church. We really don't know. But I tell you what, we better make sure that we really, really sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We better make sure. Amen. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And we want to try to deal with some of this as we go on. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, which is none other than 666. One score is 20. Three score would be 20 times 360, so 666. Okay. Let me see here. All right. We'll just go with the first quote that we have here in that document. It's out of Questions and Answers, and Brother Branham preaches this in 1954, May 15th. And we'll just kind of take this as it comes here tonight. We'll kind of skip around in this particular chapter, but we'll get all the nuggets that there are there. Okay, Questions and Answers, 1954. May 15th, 0515. And he says this: what are the Latin words over the Vatican City? We want to know how they add up to 666 and what they mean. Well, this is a question that was asked to Brother Branham. Well, it isn't over. The Latin words isn't over the Vatican City. It's over the throne of the Pope, where he sits on his throne. It's wrote up there, Vicarius Filii Dei. If you wish to in the morning, I'll bring it wrote out, everything, and put it on a piece of paper. And if you want it, well, I'll bring it to you in the morning where you can spell it out in Roman letters, Vicarius Filii Dei. The word means instead of the Son of God. He is the successor to the Son of God. The Catholic Church believes that Peter was the first pope. He was the successor of Jesus Christ, which that's an error, all right? Then they claim that every pope following him is a successor, and the pope now, it is now a successor of Jesus Christ, and there it's wrote up over there, a successor of Jesus Christ, Vicarius Filii Dei. Wrote on there, take the Roman letters and just write it, X for 10, V for 5, and so forth like that. As you spell Vicarius Filii Dei and draw a line, and you got 666. Write it out and find out. Now, I got the facts of our faith. It's called the Catholic Church because my people were Irish Catholics, so I know what I'm speaking of, see? And it absolutely is the truth. And the Bible said that he'll be setting in a church or a place, a church that sets on seven hills in Rome, and his power will go to all the world. And it's called the Antichrist, and out of the church come forth little churches. See, there's the daughters right there. Out of that church come forth little churches that was born after that. And said she was a whore, and they were harlots that followed her. That's right, and there you are, because they organized in the same thing and had their creeds and doctrines, just a little less, not as powerful as she is, but they still have power, right? And beast means power. There you are. The Catholics got the biggest power, the Methodists, and then there was Presbyterians, and then the Lutherans, and then the Baptists, and then so forth and on down. Then was little organized powers. My church, my church, my church, my church. And y'all hear that all the time. But the true believer says nothing of that. It's my Christ, my Christ, my Christ. That's the difference. How do you know? The Holy Ghost bears witness with signs and wonders. Amen. And again, many people find solace just because they belong to a church. That don't put you in heaven because you belong to a church. You know, if you lived in a barn, does not make you a horse or a pig or a cow just because you live in the barn. If you lived in the king's palace, that don't make you the king. See, you know, I mean, you just happen to be living in the palace, maybe for a night or so, but that don't make you the king. So we don't want to just base our salvation on because we go to church. It's got to be a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not about my church, my church, my church. It's about my Christ, my Christ, my Christ. Amen. All right. Let's go on here to this next quote coming out of the Mark of the Beast. Amen. This is also, this was preached just 2 days before Brother Branham brought the questions and answers. It's 1954, May 13th, paragraph 156 says this. Look at this Stevenson, ever what his name is up here. What is his name? I forget. Guy up here that's raising all this fuss around here. Yeah, oh my. The United States is rotten to the core. Yes, sir, I can prove to you the very time when this woman here back in Revelation 12, her man-child was caught up to set on God's throne. And when it did, the woman fled into the wilderness where she was taken care of for 1,203 score days to exactly the date of Plymouth Rock. Now, that's a very powerful statement Brother Branham makes there. And one of these days, I'm going to get all of that out of there, exactly to the date of Plymouth Rock, exactly where the church come over here for freedom of religion, and she established here. And we'll read on down in the 13th chapter of Revelations here, and look here at the 15th verse. Now, just a minute. I want to go back before that. We see where that he was standing here by the seaside. Now, if you just find the place, the 11th verse. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, not out of the water, out of the earth. Now, this is where Brother Branham's starting to, when he's making those little comments there, now we're getting the revelation of what that scripture means. Then the thickness and multitudes of people is water. Then this is where there was no people, the United States. There was no people. And they had two horns like a lamb. Two horns like a lamb. And now when we say no people, we realize that the Indians and everything were here. But at that time, you know, the countries that, you know, France and Rome and Germany and, you know, and all these other countries way over there in Europe, I mean, Rome, been around for years. Greece, been around for years, all right? But no one even knew anything about this, what they call the New World. You know, nobody really knew anything about this. So when the scriptures say coming up out of the earth, and Brother Branham say thickness and multitudes of people is water, then this is where there was no people, the United States. It meant nobody really knew anything about the United States, even though the Indians were here. But no one, I mean, we weren't considered a world power or anything at that time. We were no threat to nobody. All right, it was really isolation for people that wanted freedom of religion. They come over here to express their freedoms of religion and had nothing to do with the people there in Europe. Here, let's keep on reading. Then the thickness and multitudes of people is water. Then this is where there was no people, the United States. And he had two horns like a lamb, two horns like a lamb, not a lamb. What is it? It's our American buffalo. And look at how Brother Brandon bring that out. They got two horns like a lamb. It's not a lamb. What is it? It's our American buffalo. Sure, see? There he is, two horns like a lamb. But then what did he do? He had freedom of religion first. He acted like a lamb. He spoke like a lamb. But remember, he never did become an old ram. He was a lamb. This country is only 150 years old, you know, just a lamb. And, you know, and this is back in the 50s that Brother Branham spoke this. We're only a couple hundred years old now at this time, still a very young country. But even though in our youth we are a world power, one of the superpowers, only reason we can get that far is because God had purpose for the United States of America being what it is today. Amen. But just because we are American citizens, amen, I'm grateful for that. But my true citizenship is in heaven. I come from God, and I'm going back to God. Amen. So, you know, I'm grateful for my rights as an American and all these other things. But church, all that stuff could change real quick. Amen. It could change real quick. So our faith is not in who we are as Americans. Our faith is who we are as Christians. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ. He had freedom of religion first. He acted like a lamb. He spoke like a lamb. But remember, he never did become an old ram. He was a lamb. This country is only 150 years old, you know, just a lamb. And then he spake like a dragon. And he exercised all the power the first beast had before him, the red dragon, and caused all that was on the earth, that dwelled upon the earth, to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Here you see the United States is going to have something to do with causing people to worship the first beast, which was the Roman Catholic Church. All right. We're going to have something tied in together there. Okay. Can you imagine? Well, I have a quote here later on that I read, but let me just. Brother Branham, you know, he said it in many different places, and I'll just read this real quick. I believe, according to Revelation 13:16, that the bride will have to stop preaching, for the beast is demanding the mark in the hand or forehead if permission to preach be granted. What that means is that if we're not going along with what the Catholic Church is saying, we're going to have to stop preaching. You know, it says denominations will take the mark or be forced to quit preaching. Then the Lamb will come for his bride and judge the great harlot. It could be as simple as baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you ain't going to baptize that way, we're not going to consider you a church. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to have to close down, you know, because they won't allow us to baptize according to the scripture. So, I mean, you don't know how this pressure could come, church, but as it comes, it's just a fulfilling of the word of God. Amen. That's all it's doing. Okay. He exercised all the power the first beast had before him, the red dragon, and caused all that was on the earth, that dwelled upon the earth, to worship the beast whose deadly wound was healed. Look, and he does great wonders so to make him a fire come down out of heaven. And look at what Brother Branham say here. The fire come down out of heaven. The atomic bomb and hydrogen, smart, intelligent nation, and so forth, deceiving the nations by these things. And I believe we were the first country to drop a bomb of this magnitude on Hiroshima when Pearl Harbor took place. The Japanese struck, and the war was over really, really quick because they went and dropped a bomb over there, and this bomb did a lot of damage to the people. They'd never seen anything like it. That was this scripture being fulfilled during that time. Now, you know, all for the love of money, we give out all our secrets to how we make these things, how we make certain. You know, I used to work for a company where we, you know, it's supposed to be military aircraft engines, but since we lose a contract with the United States government, well, we're going to have to get a contract somewhere to keep a job. We'll sell it to Saudi Arabia, we'll sell it to Iraq, we'll sell it to Iran, we'll sell it to anybody that would pay us money for it. See, and now they got all your technology, and they're going to use it against you. Amen. All right, love of money did that. All right, Brother Branham goes on to say, this United States will come to a time that the church and state will unite together. Protestant and Catholic will throw their things together to fight communists. And it's exactly planned in the hands of what God said right here. And you Protestants laying yonder, sound asleep, reading a love story magazine instead of your Bible, out gadding around somewhere to some kind of a party instead of in a prayer meeting, somewhere fussing at one another about little old petty things that don't matter that much, you ought to be on your knees somewhere if you know what eternity meant. Praise the Lord. If you know what this really means, church, it's no way we can keep going in and out of church hearing these things and keep living the same old lifestyle that we've been living. Something got to change. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's just go with one more quote here, and then I got something that I want to share with you. This is coming out of Baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is 1958, September 28th in the morning, paragraph 32. So here's to him that has wisdom. We find that the Spirit kept speaking expressly to him that has wisdom, to he that has knowledge, to him. The different spirits, the gifts. Can't you see that God's moving that church in the last days? There's got to rise a church full of the spiritual gifts, the real gifts of God. I believe this with all my heart. There's got to rise a church full of the spiritual gifts, the real gifts of God. Here's to he that has wisdom. Let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Now, you know, we talk about number of a man. Remember, man was actually created on the sixth day, all right? So in God's creation, man, the number of man, it was the sixth day that man was created, all right? So here's to he that has wisdom. Let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. We found where that was exactly, couldn't be no more perfect. Write out your own self, vicarious, which is the vicar of Christ, Philly, of God, vicarious Philly D, and see if it doesn't, and your Roman numerals, see if you haven't got 666. See, if it don't place not upon something else that give you suspicion, this or that, but right at the same place where the rest of the scripture says it'll be setting, and here we are Protestants, and, you know, I like what he just said there. See if it don't place not upon something else that give you suspicion, this or that. You know, when we say suspicion, y'all, if y'all got $6.66. Oh man, let me find another penny. You know, I'm trying to. Suspicion. You know, if you got $666, you want another dollar. Try to break the suspicion, right? How many of y'all would take $666 million? $666. I take it. You know, I no problem with that. You know, I'd be happy to have it. Write that check out. I will cash it, you know. I mean, but, you know, it's not suspicion, church. You know, it's reality. And I want to just kind of bring you something here. Just a little something that I found. Brother Branham keeps challenging us, you know, hey, write it out and see if you get, you know, 666. So I just kind of went to the internet and I found a little something on the internet. It's kind of written out here in a way that I think we'll be able to kind of capture it. So I want to bring this to your attention now, if we can. Somebody was asking a question, does vicarious Philly D equal 666? All right, they were asking this question. And as you notice, this was a response given to a woman with an anti-Catholic Seventh-day Adventist son-in-law. So look at this, it says, the response given to a woman that has an anti-Catholic, against Catholic, that's what anti-Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist son-in-law, that's what they call him, all right? Listen what they say. Let's consider this accusation. Latin, Greek, and Hebrew have numerical values assigned. Now, listen, what we're going to read here, this is where man, see, the number of man, also man is recognized for being, having more wisdom, you know, than anything else. You know, the animals that God created thousands of years ago, they're still doing the same thing they did when they first started in creation. They're not building better houses. They're not building better roads. They're not building better cars, none of it. They're the same old animals as they were years ago. But man, with all his wisdom, man said, man, I'm not staying here on the earth. I think I can go to the moon. He'll build something to get himself to the moon. He's always constantly doing something to do more and more. That's what the wisdom of man does. The unfortunate part is that our wisdom that we have is going to eventually destroy us. All right, it's going to be our wisdom that actually destroys us. Listen, let's consider this accusation. Latin, Greek, and Hebrew have numerical values assigned to various letters in their alphabets. In Latin, the values are I equal 1, V equal 5, X equal 10, L equal 50, C equal 100, D equal 500, M equals 1,000. This is in Latin. By extension, W equal 10 because W equals VV, or two V's together. And U equals V because there was no letter U for the Romans. Where you see the letter U in modern writing, use the letter V instead. As you can work out for yourself, Vicarius Filii Dei does add up to 666 in Latin. Vicarius equals 112. Filii, 53. Dei, 501. Ignore letters which are not assigned a numerical value. The problem is that Vicarius Filii Dei is not a title of the Pope. One of his titles, in fact, is chief title is Vicarius Christi, Vicar of Christ. Now, here they are acknowledging this, all right? And Brother Branham said this Vicarius Filii Dei was over the throne, okay? But unfortunately for Seventh-day Adventists and other anti-Catholics who attempt to use this ploy, Vicarius Christi adds up to only a measly 214, not the infernal 666. So now they're throwing you off to say, so you ain't got nothing to do with the Pope. See, since the average person, Catholic, Protestant, hasn't the foggiest idea what the Pope's titles are in Latin or English, anti-Catholics, some of whom know better, can get away with this subterfuge. And that just really, really putting us down here. Use a big old word that don't none of us mean. Nobody know what it means. You know, subterfuge, make you want to go get your dictionary. But see, this is man's wisdom. This is what it'll do to you. Just completely confuse you. Completely confuse you. Hold that spot there for a moment. One time, Brother Rams talked about these preachers. They felt led to have a church in a certain area, and they wanted to try to get these preachers out of that area. They said, no, the Lord told us to keep this church here. Well, we're going to buy you out. Nope, we're going to stay right here. The Lord told us to stay right here. Well, eventually they come down to try to take it from them through court. And they brought this lawyer down there, and said, that man walked into the courtroom, started asking them questions, and preachers just, they couldn't even answer, you know, because of the wisdom that the man was placed in, that way he was placing those questions. They had to just leave that thing in God's hands. And before they knew it, that same guy was asking all them questions, was flying on the plane. The plane went down. So God fight his own battles. See, and the man was able to keep their land because they didn't have keep their church because they didn't have nobody else to kind of step forth and challenge them like that. But, you know, this is what sometimes we'll come into some situations here, but I want to just tell you, wait on the Lord. God will give you what to say when you need to say it. Just wait on the Lord. Trust me, I done been there. I mean, you get to talking to people about the scripture, and you start sharing. Well, I mean, you might not know everything, but you know, that part right there, I know that right there, that pertains to the Catholic Church, you know. And you start sharing it as much as you know, then they try to twist you up and tie you up. But if you just wait there, God will bring something back to your remembrance, and then it'll have them running for cover. See? Amen. God know how to do it. All right, let's pull that up again. All right, again, so it says, since the average person, Catholic or Protestant, hasn't the foggiest idea what the Pope's titles are in Latin or English, anti-Catholics, some of whom know better, can get away with this subterfuge. But what if one of the Pope's titles did add up to 666? Would that coincidence prove the Pope is the beast? Hardly. It would prove nothing because lots of names and titles add up to 666. By using a nifty little technique, you can force a Seventh-day Adventist to admit that the addition to 666 proves nothing, even when it's a papal title that's in question. Here's how. Have your son-in-law do the math, and he'll be shocked to learn that the name of the woman who started Seventh-day Adventism, Ellen Gould White, adds up to 666. Ellen is 100, Gould 555, White 11. Ask him whether this proves that the foundress of his religion was the beast. If he says no, then the tallying of the name means nothing. If he says yes, then what he's doing belonging to a church founded by the beast, what is he doing belonging to a church founded by the beast? Now, he actually just said something without saying something there. He just said the Seventh-day Adventist Church was founded by the beast. What you just read in Scripture, there's names of blasphemy. That means it went from a name to names. There was a mother. She had daughters. So he just identified that the Seventh-day Adventist did come right from underneath the Catholic Church. Amen. All right. Now, let's read this again. The tallying of the name means nothing. If he says yes, if he says no, then the tallying of the name means nothing. If he says yes, then what is he doing belonging to a church founded by the beast? Either way, his argument collapses. Is it apologetics fun? All right, so they tried to defend the 666. I am so glad we have a prophet. Does anybody run into something like this? If one of you all were to run into something like this, you would be like, boy, that's a good point. If I ran into it, I'd be like, I ain't know the Seventh-day Adventist Church added up to that. At least I didn't know it was a woman founder for the religion. All right, for their church, I didn't realize that. As well as, I didn't know that her name would equal 666. But I know just enough, after I just read that for the first time, I knew enough to know that, yeah, that's possible because she's a daughter of the mother church. That's possible. But I'm so glad Brother Branham can take us a little deeper than what I could. So let's just pull up this quote. This is out of the message, Why I'm Against Organized Religion. Think about the title of that message, Why I'm Against Organized Religion. This is 1962, September 11th in the evening, paragraph 195. I want you to look at this. It says here, now here the other day, Zella Braitman. Are you here tonight, Zella? She brought it's in the room in there now, our Sunday visitor, the Catholic paper. And the Catholic paper was answering a minister, said, did you say, Reverend, that in the Roman numeral over the Vatican or over the Pope's throne is written Vicarius Filii Dei, which it means that in the Catholic diocese there, that this is the number of the beast of the apocalypse. All right? Listen. While he said, certainly it is, it's exactly, spells out 666. It's exactly. And the Roman diocese admitted that it does. But here's their answer. Smart, full of wisdom. Listen to this. Says, but you know your name in a certain language might spell out the same thing, is what they said, you know. But your name in a certain language might spell out the same thing. This man said mine almost the same thing in some language. He spelled it out, said, see, I'm almost 666 too. They'd trick you so bad you thinking your own name is almost a part. Well, let me add up the letters of my name. I'm almost 666 too. See, boy, you got to know the. Boy, I tell you, thank God for a prophet that know the word of God. Watch this. I'm almost 666 too. Said there's been hundreds of them. Said every time anything raises up, somebody's got a 666. Said Reverend, did you know in one language your own name might spell out Antichrist? Said why do you look at such things? Now look at the wisdom. But the Holy Spirit knows better. Watch. That might be. My name might spell out 666, but I don't meet the rest of the qualifications. I don't sit upon a hill. I don't say these things. I'm not a governor. You see, that's right. That's the one he's talking about. So your worldly wisdom comes to nothing, sir. That's right. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, I don't meet the rest of it. But he does. Sets in the temple of God, showing himself he is God, and sets on seven hills. I don't set on seven hills. If it does spell 666, I don't meet the rest of it. But he does. See, there you are. So which rely on the Holy Spirit, take no thought what you're going to say, because it's not you that speaks, it's the Father. I tell you, a prophet, God just quicken those things to him. And I know I would have an answer now. If somebody was to bring that up to me, I have an answer. No, no. Well, I don't fit the rest of the scripture, though. Yeah, my name do equal 666. But the rest of the scripture, I'm not sitting on seven hills, you know. I'm not the governor of this thing. I'm not trying to act like I'm instead of God. No, I don't fit none of that. See? So it can't be talking about me. It's got to be talking about him. That's how specific God is. You know, he put not only just the 666 there, so that that's one way that we'd be able to see it, but also tell him exactly where the city gonna be sitting, right on top of seven hills. Praise the Lord for that. I love that. That's all right. That's all right. Maybe we got time for a couple more quotes, and we'll read this. This is coming out of the Message to the Sardesian Church Age, and this is out of 1960, December 9th, 1960, and this is paragraph 39. Now here's the hymn that has wisdom. Draw, write that out, Vicarious Philly D, and then when you draw a line under here, and add the numbers, and you got exactly what God said the mark of the beast was, 666, see, Vicarious Philly. Now, I've been in Rome and been in the Vatican and the Triple Crown, jurisdiction of hell, heaven, and purgatory, seen the crown, seen the vest, seen right there. Actually, on a Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I was supposed to meet the last pope that was there, Baron von Blomberg. He said, now, when you go, Brother Branham, the first thing you have to do is bow down on your right knee and kiss that ring. I said, that's out. That's out. Just forget it. I said, I have nothing against a man. But I said, there's one thing. I'll give a man his title. If he's reverend, that's all right. See, now, so this helps us kind of clarify some things. Brother Branham said, if the man was reverend, he would call him reverend, right? That clarifies that, because some people say you can't do that. Yes, you can. Brother Branham said, if he's reverend, that's all right. Bishop, elder, doctor, whatever, I'll gladly salute a man. But do a worship to a man, I owe my homage to one man, Jesus Christ. That's the only man I bow before. I said, just forget it. Just cancel it out. I wouldn't take it. And so after coming home, I found out there was another great American did that too, Teddy Roosevelt. That's our president, right? One of our foreign presidents. He refused to do it on account. Remember that in history, that he refused to see the Pope because he had to kiss his ring. They had it on a big toe, a ring on a toe. That's just bad. That's just real bad. That any man get that kind of power, that people got to walk up and kiss his toe. Church, there's something wrong with that. My Lord, you better make sure you know the Lord Jesus. If they ever come with something like that, boy, a lot of us, amen, we just going to be looking for a rapture, because ain't no way that's going to happen. Ain't no way. I just don't see it, church. I can understand why the president refused to do that. I can understand that. But you know, there's people out there that would give everything they got to be able to kiss the Pope toe. I know it sounds funny, but you go to some of these Catholic churches, they wouldn't be laughing. They would not be laughing. And actually, you ain't got to go to a Catholic church. There's a Baptist church. There's a Baptist church where a preacher would do anything to get audience with the Pope. And would come back and dress like him and everything else. Yes, he will. I mean, and if he had the opportunity to be on camera with him kissing the Pope toe, I guarantee you he'd take it. But don't even realize what they're doing. Don't even realize what they're doing. My Lord. Thank God for a prophet that will show us these things so that we don't get intimidated by it. And then a president that would also refuse to do it. My God. All right. I just want to maybe this one last quote here, and then we'll end it up. This is out of United Under One Head. This is 1958, March 26, 1958, paragraph 34, E34, and says this. That's the way it is with a true born-again experience of God. Man says there's no such thing as a baptism of the Holy Ghost. It shows he hasn't got it. He trusts his creeds. We trust what God said. See, man, it shows he hasn't got it. He trusts his creeds, but we trust what God said. Now what happens? You can't stand neutral. This is important right here. You can't stand neutral. You got to be filled with something to survive. You got to be filled with something to survive. Notice you might be filled with one thing over another. Say, Brother Branham, I'm kind of on the fence. No, you're not. The Bible plainly says that all that was not sealed with the Holy Ghost received the mark of the beast. All that didn't have the seal of God in their forehead had the mark of the beast. You've got one of it now. The seal of God, we've got one of it now. I'd like to test it just a little bit and see where we're standing. Oh, the mark of the beast. Now, ain't that something? He can tell you, you got one of them, you got one or the other right now. And somebody say, I ain't got no 666 on my head and on my hand. He said, you got one of them now. Either mark of God or the mark of the beast. Listen. Oh, the mark of the beast. Remember, it's a religious mark. Certainly it is. You might be filled with religion. You can have all kinds of religion. That doesn't save you at all. You can just be a religious fanatic if you want to be. Touch not, taste not, handle not, smell not. That don't have one thing to do with the Holy Ghost. You might be filled with a bunch of malice. You might be filled with a bunch of prejudice. So full you can't even sit and hear one sermon preached. You might be filled with a lot of hatred. You despise everybody that don't agree with you. You might be filled with a lot of nonsense, too. You might be filled with a lot of Arthur Godfrey's dirty jokes. So much that you think too much. So much of that, you won't go to church on Wednesday night or something. You might be filled with Elvis Presley's rock and roll. Now, that was he was the artist back there. You name the different artists today. What you got your iPod, what you playing in your ears, what you feel with, see, it shows what's really. I ain't got the mark of the beast. Well, what you listening to right now? See, how you living on a daily basis? It shows that the mark of God ain't there. It's either the mark of God or the mark of the beast. And understand, it's a religious mark. Don't be looking for nobody no 666. That's not, you're not gonna be able to identify them that way. Amen. It's gonna be people that it's gonna be a religious something that's going on inside, right there in the midst of the church. Listen, you might be filled with Elvis Presley rock and roll, that's true, but you're filled with something. Your own life bears your record of what you're filled with. You want to know what you're filled with? It's what come on the outside of you. That's what shows what you're filled with. See, amen. By their fruits you shall know them. You are filled with something. You might be filled with a bunch of laziness, just too lazy to do anything about it. Well, you don't have to be that way. Christ died that you might be cleansed from all those things. You might be filled with a bunch of creeds. You might be filled with a bunch of denominations. But God don't want you filled with that. God made a place in there to put himself in. God wants you to be filled with himself. What takes place when you're filled with God? When you're filled with God, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled with power. You're filled with love, with joy, with peace, with long-suffering, with goodness, with meekness, with gentleness, with worship. You're filled with joy. David said, my cup runneth over. And if David had a cup running over before the Holy Ghost come, what would it be now? You're filled with something. And when you're filled with man's ideas, if you're filled with churchianity, if you're filled with creeds, you're only building yourself a Babylon that's got to fall. If you fill yourself up with a modern world, if you fill yourself up with lust, if you fill yourself up with pride, if you fill yourself up with your denomination, you are lost. There's only one way to endure. That is to put the original thing that God made, that compartment in your heart to be filled with, and that was the Holy Ghost. That's the last quote that we'll read tonight. Brother Branham talked about the compartment in the heart. There was someone that made a reference to this. I remember years ago, saying in the heart, there's a little hole that everybody has, this little hole in their heart. And a preacher was preaching on that, and he was saying that, you know, just that little hole is the exact place where God comes to sit on the throne, you know, in your heart. And it's up to you as to whether you decide to allow the Lord Jesus to control and sit on the throne of your heart, or to allow other things to sit there and control the throne of your heart. That's totally up to you. Church is market to be, say nothing to play with. People are taking it right now, not even realizing it, you know. But I want to take the mark of God, the seal of God. The scripture say, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. God, let that be my seal, is my prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just appreciate your precious word. Thank you for your prophet, Lord, that would just kind of break these things down so we can get clarity and understanding. Father, just even a little part there of how anybody's name could kind of measure up to 666. Man's wisdom would take that, present it to someone, and have them confused. But God, as your prophet could show us, we're not fulfilling the other parts of the scripture that's designed there, that is spoken there about the beast. And therefore, it does not identify us, even if our name did add up to 666 in some other language. God, we thank you for revelation. We thank you for these things. We just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to walk in the fullness of it, to be full of your revelation, full of your word, rather than full of the things of this world. Lord, so much, like your prophet said, lust and entertainment, television, Lord, so many other things that would try to take the place of what you want to be to us. We trust, oh God, that we would come, amen, and tonight just thinking and meditating on, Lord, how to surrender more of ourselves to thee, that you might have complete control over our being. Time is winding up. The day is coming to a close. And Lord, we appreciate that we have understanding, but Lord, we want to be ready to get out of here. That's our desire. So show us, Lord, the things that we need to see, that we might make ourselves ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll ask that the brothers prepare to come tonight. We'll take tonight's tithes and offering. I want to thank the Lord for taking us away and bringing us back home safely.